pleasing God? How do you know? I know. I don't want to make you feel dumb, but I could disprove about everything any of us would say because there's a billion different ways to know you're with God. But if it's the most important thing on earth is being with Him, then it's important that we know. It's funny. In our world, so many of us have been hurt and disappointed. We've been let down. We believed that if we lived this way and did this, that this would happen. Or we believed somehow this just happens. It's just in the world. We believe if we'll do this and we'll do this and then we'll do this, this won't happen. Like, that'll protect us from this happening to us. God forbid, right? It's just something we say. And we also believe things will happen because we do certain things. And somehow we get this idea, guys, and I'm telling you, everyone in this room is infected with this. If we just check the boxes off, then that will bring this into our life. And we're just raised that way. Some of you were like me. I was raised in a little country church, and they had these envelopes. We have them here too, but ours are different. But the envelopes had these little check marks. And like if you read your Bible every day, you got to check it. And it was like a test. You know, you're going for 100%. But I was good usually with 61. Anything above failing, I was good with a low D. D means dandy in my world, right? But it was as in the old days. And you check these boxes off. And when you check those boxes off, we get this idea that our lives will be just peaches and cream all the time, rainbows and butterflies. That's not true. Because everybody in this room, you felt the sting of disappointment. You felt it. Like I felt it. You know, I remember one time I got really angry at God because I know He's powerful. I know He's in charge. I know it's His breath in our lungs that we exist. And the best Christian I knew, matter of fact, of my running buddies I ran with, the only guy who fell in love with Jesus, he was just a freak, you know. He fell in love with Jesus when he was in college. And it just freaked me out because he became a Jesus freak, totally. And before that, he was normal like me and everybody else I knew. He went to church, you know, he was saved, but something happened with him, and with God became his only thing that mattered. And I remember y'all know this, y'all know him, y'all don't know him. Nobody in this room knows him, but when I got married, before I asked Jeannie to marry me, I had him come up to meet Jeannie because he was an experienced Christian. He'd been a Christian for 2 years. And I said, you know, I don't know, you know. So I said, Danny, come up. His name was Danny. I said, come up and, you know, I want you to meet this girl. And if you think she's a good one, I'll ask her to marry me. So I was so romantic. I'm just the pinnacle of romance, really. And I said, because I thought you had to have, if you're going to be a preacher, you had to marry someone who could play the piano and teach Sunday school, right? I didn't know any better. Y'all don't act like you're so much smarter than me. That's all I knew. I wasn't Catholic, so I knew you could get married. You know, so I was doing that. So Danny came up, and he met Jeannie, and he said, yes, you'll be a good one. I said, cool. And the next day, I asked her to marry me. And Danny goes home. It's all good. We get married. It's all good. Just a little bit after we got married, Danny was really the first person in my understanding in my world that ever told me he loved me. I mean, I know it's sort of weird. It was like, and he did it for years before I ever accepted that. I would hang up on him and cuss him when he would say that on the phone. Just irritated the fire out of me, you know. But then I got to liking it, you know. You know, you ever see a dog that doesn't want you to pet him, but he wants you to pet him? You ever have an animal like that? They really do want you to pet them, but they're hand shy and they stay away from you. I was like that. I wanted him to say it, but I didn't want him to say it. And he'd say it anyway. He was one of those Christians that just followed what he felt the Lord was doing. And I had something in my heart. I decided one day, I was trying to get there. I mean, I'm pastoring, I'm in a church, I'm full-time ministry. I just hadn't got there yet. I am trying to get to the place where I can say those words back to him. You know, I love you. I love you. In my heart, my goal in life was to say I love you to Danny. He wasn't even driving, gets in a car accident, and it dies. Before I can get to the hospital. He was in Hot Springs where the accident happened. I was in Cushing, Oklahoma, about a 7-hour drive, speeding hard. And before I could get to the hospital, Danny passed away. That wasn't in my definition of how you treat somebody you love. God, why? You could have kept him alive until I said those three words. You could have. And obviously could have. But I had a goal in mind. So, you know, it's like that. The kingdom of God operates differently than the kingdom of this world. And somehow we pick up this idea, right, that when we check all the boxes, when we do all the right things, when we don't do all the wrong things, somehow we get this idea that when we come to church, we read our Bibles enough, and we give, and we do all this, whatever it is, that God will respond with what you want. And of course, my want was not selfish like your wants are. I mean, I just wanted to tell Danny I loved him. And I'm making fun of you because some of your wants are good. And the world is different. The world works in a barter system. That's the system we live in our world. We are surrounded by it. It's everywhere you look. It's everything you do. If you do this for me, then I will do that for you. If you give me this amount of money, I will give you that thing you want to buy. That's how we live. If you will not do this, then this won't happen to you. And it's a barter system. And the problem with that is it's the way of the world. Jesus says we live differently than that. The kingdom of God is different. The kingdom of God is based on relationship. Trusting your Father. Trusting your Father. Instead of trusting God, I got mad at him because he didn't do that thing I wanted, which was just to say I love you to my friend before he died. I didn't really care if he died. He's going to heaven. It's not a big deal. But I did care about me not getting to do what I had purposed to do in my heart for years. And so I think what we talk about, what I want to talk about today, is this barter system we live in. And we all live in it. You hear it, you see it, you exist in it. If I come to work for you and I do work like this, then that's what I'm going to receive. I'm going to receive this amount of money. I'm going to receive this kind of benefits, retirement, medical insurance, a car, whatever it is. Everything we do in the world is based on you do this for me, I do that for you. And then we make promises, right? And we, most of us, that kind of thinking actually enters into our relationship with God, where we believe our goal are the things, the that's. Like, oh, wait a second, God, if I tithe, if I give my money to you, if I give this to you, then you'll give me a job and I'll be able to support my family. We won't starve to death, live on the streets. So your goal becomes the salary. And the world lives that way. And it's very logical. It makes sense. It seems reasonable. But I want to challenge you today. We're going to look at Exodus. And I challenge you to read Exodus, to read the story of Abraham in Genesis and in Exodus, because the Bible says Abraham's the father of our faith. And Egypt and Israel and the things that happened to Israel relate directly to our lives. And I want to see that. Listen, I think about this. I want to twist up your head. And not that what you're doing is bad. The world system is not bad. It's just not God's way. God wants us to believe that He is the source of our protection and our provision. The world says doing things this way is what will provide protection for you, and doing things this way is what will provide everything you need in the future. And I hate to tell you this, but the world lies. The world system will not meet your needs. Because you'll find that that power or the wealth or the place or the home or the car, those things that you work for will not meet the deepest needs in your heart. They won't protect you. They won't make you happy. As a matter of fact, those kind of things actually put you in bondage. And I think a lot of times it seems 100% for sure. You know what the world says? And I believe me, I believe we raise well-rounded children. But I believe if you'll make Jesus, being with Him, the number one thing in your life, you will raise your children in a way that they'll be successful and prosper in this world. Now also, something tragic might happen to your children too. But it doesn't matter, because when you're with God, the world doesn't control you in here. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because the world tells you, you think about raising kids, and I think that this is just on my mind a lot. When you're raising your children, every one of us as a parent, we want our children to be successful. We want them to prosper. We want them to be happy. We want them to be stable. We don't want them to spend a lifetime in prison, right? What can you give your children that will guarantee the outcome of their lives? With God. You see, and the world says, no, teach your children to make good, wise choices. And there's 1,000 wise choices. How should you invest your money? Go look. There is 1,000. Which education? Which career field? Which state should you live? Which house? Which car? Which person should you be in relationship with? There's thousands of those things. Thousands of choices. But what we believe is when you're with God, that thing will be born from the inside out instead of imposed from the outside in. With God is the key to everything. And see, the world doesn't think that way. Jesus turned the world upside down. He said, give and it'll be given to you. Well, what kind of wisdom is that? He said, when somebody takes your cloak, give them your coat as well. He says, when you loan money to somebody, don't expect it back. Give it. You see, Jesus has a different way to live than we have to live. We're not teaching. Our goal at Grace Fellowship with your children is to teach them to live with God. That's our goal. We want them to have a deep relationship with Him. And out of that relationship, we believe morality is born. Peace, love, joy, mental health, physical health comes out of being with Him. Not out of a rule book, not out of an instruction book. The only wise choice we ever make is the choice to live with in relationship with God. And so the world lives on a barter system. Is there a better way to live than depending upon the ways of this world? If you're in this room, you've already decided that God's ways are better. Amen. You have, or you wouldn't be here. God's ways are better. But there's a constant pressure on us to live the way the world lives, which is through that barter system. God has a different way. We really do believe that protection and provision, everything you need, everything I need, everything the world needs, comes from Him as a source. It comes from relationship, not indoctrination. And it's love. That's different than the world lives. And I just want to challenge you, as we're looking at these scriptures, read Genesis and Exodus. Read Abraham's story. And even look in the New Testament, Abraham's mentioned a lot. And I'm going to read a couple of the scriptures today. But look at it and study it. There is a better way to live, and it's in the kingdom of God, which is different. You know, our world really puts pressure on us as people. It tells you that if you drink this beer, you'll have a wonderful time in life. You know, I mean, everything around us says that kind of thing. If children go to this school, if they'll have this career, if they'll reach this kind of income level, they'll have peace and love and joy and a rosy future. That's the world. And in the scriptures, Egypt is a picture of the world. And that's why we're going to talk about this, because it's really true. You know, it seems, even in our world, guys, and I don't know how this happens to us, it just does. Because I think without Jesus, we would all live like Egypt lives. And that ends bad. Jesus came to bring a new kingdom. There's a new covenant that Jesus brought. And in Christianity, we sort of turn this same thing on us. We just change the script a little bit. We say, listen, if you'll say these things, if you'll do these things, then God will give you everything you want. I believe Jesus said, listen, why are you surprised when people betray you? Because they betrayed me. Why are you surprised when the world turns against you? Because it turned against me. See, Jesus didn't say that we would get everything we want and nothing would happen to us that we don't want. That is not Christianity. Christianity is when you connect with Him, that will overcome anything the world will ever do to you. There's a peace and a love and a joy. There's rest in Jesus that you can't find in anything in the world. And so we believe that our protection from those bad things, which we don't want to happen. I don't want any of us to be hurt. I wish none of us would ever be disappointed again in our lives. But I want to tell you, you will be. You know what? It's your relationship with Him that will make the disappointment not take you down. You'll feel it. Jesus felt the pain. He felt the rejection. He felt the physical pain. But his relationship with His Father brought Him to a place where that did not control Him. And Jesus wants us to live at this place. And to do that, we have to start thinking like He thinks. And it seems as like in our Christianity, it's the same thing. It's all about you do the right things and you don't do the wrong things and God will bless you. How do you define blessing? I define blessing being with Him. When you're with Him, everything changes. We really shouldn't sing those songs because it's true. Everything changes when you're with Him. Yeah, but what if I file bankruptcy? You can have joy. You can have peace. Well, what if I have chronic illness? You can live above that because what really matters is in here. What if I die? Well, you're going to be with Him, so that's really good, right? Well, I mean, not good. I don't want you to die, but death isn't a threat to us anymore because we don't. We are with Him. Guys, the same thing's true on earth. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to experience heaven on earth. But you don't have to experience the physical, practical, worldly stuff on earth to experience heaven on earth. You can have one leg and still experience heaven on earth. You can have... because heaven is Him and you can be with Him. Jesus died so we can be with Him all the time. Amen. And it's just crazy. But you know what? My emotions are being controlled because my definition of what Jesus should do, keeping my friend alive, that was my goal. I wanted to tell him I loved him. What Jesus showed me was wrong goal. Your goal is me. I'm better. I'm all you'll ever need. I'll supply that need in your life. And when I forgave God, which I did, Jesus came and the pain went away. Now, did I get to tell Danny I loved him? No, he's in heaven. I don't get to tell him until I'm there. But the pain that I was feeling because of that, when I was with Jesus, everything changed. And that's just the truth, okay? So we become this. You know, we sing that song, He is Enough. We sing it to Him. You are enough. Really? Is He enough when you're broke? Is He enough when someone's heart isn't changed that you love dearly? Is He enough when someone who's sick doesn't get healed? Is He enough? Or do you need that? You see, the world says they'll give you that. We'll give you everything you want, is what Egypt told Israel. And unintentionally, we've been teaching that. Now, I want to show you the key to doing this, right? You guys, y'all are pretty familiar with this. So, by faith, Hebrews chapter 11 talks about Abraham too, right? By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance. You see, God has called us to live by faith, not by that. Or that, or that, or that, or that, or that, or that, any that. We live by faith. If you're a Christian, your life, your experience on earth is determined by your faith. Now, faith can't be another that. Because I've been in a world where Christianity turned faith into a that. Faith isn't a that. We live by faith in our relationship. When you walk in the room with God, everything changes. When you become His child, everything changes. And it's no longer based upon your performance. It's based upon that relationship. Do you know what God wants you to have that is for me and you? Relationship. Are you doing what you're doing, or are you not doing what you're not doing because of your relationship? That is what we want to teach our children. They need to live by relationship with Him. But you know what that means? Faith. Well, because we would rather have the safety of our children being slaves to us than responsibility of freedom. I'm going to give my children freedom to live through that relationship. You mean you're not going to control them? Well, I do when they're young, right? Because I don't want them to drink bleach when they're in the kitchen. But no, I want to teach them control isn't what changes your life. Your relationship with Jesus is what changes your life. And it's from the inside out. You see, when He talked to Abraham, He said, Abraham, there's a promised land available for you. God created a promised land. Abraham was the first of the family that we're a part of. And He said, you know what was in the promised land? Joy, peace, purpose, destiny. All the things, everything was in the promised land. But the promised land, it was talking about what happens inside of here. The land wasn't the secret. It was their relationship with God. And you know it by faith. It says in verse 9, by faith, He made His home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac, Jacob, who were heirs with Him of the same promise. For He was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Guys, God wants us to be able to live in a land seeing something in heaven. God wants you to live beyond, above, and greater. It's a place that the world can't shake it. Like it's our friend Stephen when he was getting stoned. The world, the reality of the world, did not control this. He looked at heaven and something happened inside of him that this wasn't controlling. Most powerful thing ever. Guys, God wants to give you a life that this world can't control. It doesn't matter who you are, how much you have, what your past is. It doesn't matter. What if you could live above everything? What if your joy was totally dependent upon your looking up into heaven? What if you couldn't be disappointed anymore? Because that overcomes disappointment. You don't even worry about disappointing others because this overcomes it. You're not disappointed when you get everything you want. What if the only thing I want is to live life with God? Winner, winner, chicken dinner, baby. Well, that's too easy. Well, you know how I define live with God? The second I turn my focus to Him. That's the win. I mean, we're going to have healing prayer Saturday night we're having a healing service. And you know what our goal is in that healing service? We're going to do it with God. And because of that, some people will be healed. Everybody will experience a touch from heaven. Now, will they get, I'm praying for their legs to grow back. I'm praying for my deaf ear to become hearing again. I'm praying. I would love to not have to wear glasses again. Wouldn't that be cool? Even you older people like me that have to do the thing, you know. God, you could reverse that, God. But my goal isn't the healing. My goal is to be with Him. Because if I'm with Him and I'm praying for you, I know the presence of God is going to touch you. And He's good. He never comes to you and say, oh, you sorry loser. No, I don't care how low life you are. He's going to say, I love you. I gave my son for you. You're good. That's what Jesus says every time. And so, guys, our goal is to be with Him. So I'm going to reach my goal every time I pray for somebody next Saturday night, if I get to pray for people. Because my goal is to do it with God. It's to do it with Him. It doesn't even matter if I get it right or wrong. Because when you say your goal is to get it right, then what's your goal? It's no longer to be with God. Your goal is to do it right. Hello, idol. Idolatry, y'all know what idolatry is? It's whatever you depend upon and trust in to protect you or to provide for you. So if you believe getting things right is what's providing for you, that's idolatry. And it'll put you in bondage. Jesus said, trust me. Trust me. And that's why we're going to look at this whole Egyptian thing. Because it's so funny. Israel went to Egypt. Now, I don't know. Joseph was there. Remember, he got sold into slavery. His brother sold him. And he gets in Egypt, and God does these crazy miracles. And Joseph ends up second in command of the country, the entire nation of Egypt. Rich, wealthy nation. And then, you know, Jacob and his brothers, they're all starving to death in the promised land. Did you ever realize that? They were in the promised land. And there was a famine that hit. You know what? When you're following Jesus, it's going to rain on you and His sun's going to shine on you. Sometimes you'll have famine, sometimes you'll have feast. Where do you turn? Where are you going to turn for help? Turn to Him. They turned to Egypt. I don't know how it happened. When they got to Egypt, you know what? They were honored guests. There were 70. 70 is all there were that went to Egypt. But you know what? Egypt really is a picture of the self-life. It's a picture of the world system. Perfect picture of it. You worship demons, they give you stuff. You worship this, they give you stuff. You don't do this, and they won't punish you. It's a perfect picture of living the way the world lives. And they were very successful. 430 years later, guess where Israel still is? Still in Egypt. You know, Egypt wasn't what their hope was. Somehow, they got sucked into that world and they never escaped. And the truth is, they were supposed to live by faith. See, we started out, Abraham and Sarah started out living by faith. What did they trust in? They trusted in their God to provide everything, that stuff. And even when that stuff didn't come, they still trusted God. They were over 90, right? Past childbearing age, Sarah was dried up, and they trusted God, and He gave them a son. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. And He made them a promise. And see, you're children of promise. You're not children of fact. You're children of promise. We've turned Christianity into a fact mission. No, it's a faith-based mission. My promise is, if I trust my connection with God, God will work out everything. And He told Abraham, Abraham, your children, your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. And here was this man who had no children. But Abraham, in faith, trusted God. What are you facing today? Do you trust God? are you trying to work your way out of it? What are you trusting for your future? Do you believe? Or are you living the same way the rest of the world lives, which is the way Egypt lived? You know, I love these verses. It's really funny. Romans 4:16, Paul talks about it. He said, therefore, the promise comes by faith. So how are you doing in your walk with Christ? You know, I mean, I get to go with the pastors in town, right? And we talk once a month. We get together and spend a couple of hours. And it's like pastors do pastor talk. Well, how's it going, brother? How's your church doing? Have people come back from COVID yet? How's the offering? I mean, we do pastor talk. Because that's how you'll know whether you're with God or not. It's by the seats in the butt. No. Y'all know what I mean. People sitting on their seats in chairs. Right? That's how you tell. And you're offering. And you can tell. And the miracles that are happening at your church, if you're one of us charismatic people, you know, you can tell by that stuff. You know what? Why don't we ask what all the only, what really matters is, hey, brother, are you trusting God? That's what matters. It's all that matters. Abraham trusted God, and he went from zero, and he believed before he ever saw any children. You see, God wants us to live in a place the world doesn't understand. And it's not denying reality. Listen, Jesus did get beaten. He got betrayed by those closest to him. He got crucified. It was true, but there was some power, supernatural power working inside of him that took him above all the hell. Do you know you can live above whatever you're in right now by doing one thing? Faith. Yeah, but I'm... Now you're sounding like one of those Israel people, one of those Jews that were in the desert. Next week we're going to look at their complaining, because they did. They complained. And so it's funny. Consider Abraham, Paul wrote to the Galatians, right? He believed God. He didn't sin. He didn't cuss. He didn't sleep with women. He never got drunk. No, he did all those things. Well, why didn't God punish him? And why did he get, why is he the father of our faith? He's the father of our faith, not because of his prosperity, but because he believed God. And what's going to change your life, what's going to raise our children, is when we teach them to believe and trust God. Trust your relationship. Amen. Well, wait. Shouldn't we teach them to be respectful and to study hard and to be first in their class? Because the people that are first get more. You know what? If they'll trust God and they'll have a relationship with God, those all might be what happens. True. Might be. But if you have 100 kids in the class and they're all trusting God, they can't all be first. So are the rest of them losers? No, because everyone's a winner if trusting God is your goal. We've got the wrong goal, guys. We've been taught a bill of goods. The world has slipped into the church and brought us to the same this and that bartering system with God that the world lives under. Let's break free from that. Let's break free from that. And listen, God, I believe that if I'm trying to follow you, that's my goal. That's my goal. And I trust you to change me. When things happen, there's a power working inside of me the world doesn't understand. They couldn't understand. Remember Paul, who was there, Saul at that time, overseeing Stephen's stoning? He watched Stephen die, and he saw something in Stephen's eyes that never let that man go. Guys, Jesus receives glory when you live above the world. Like that psalm we read, you know, why would David pray, God, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil? It's because he was in a shadow of death with a lot of evil. But God didn't take him out of the valley. It really took him through it because he was with him. The power comes from being with God. You know, I love that. We talked about Egypt, and next week, I'm not going to do it today. I want to bad. I want to read like 300 verses from Exodus. Y'all study Exodus. It's the foundation of your faith. It's a foundation of your faith. If you're a Christian, this is where it started with Abraham. We're children of Abraham. He's the father of our faith, even though we're not Jewish, right? That's true, because Abraham believed God. What do you trust? You see, the world is just like Egypt. Egypt said, hey, Joseph, we've got all the food you could ever want. They were wise, right? Because they listened to the dream, and he said there were 7 years of famine. There were 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Pharaoh obeyed him. And so Egypt had food during the famine. And Israel was starving. Living in the promised land, they were hungry. That's the promised land. They were still hungry. They were suffering. And Egypt said, here, come here. Come here, guys. Live the way we live, and you'll be taken care of. And 430 years later, they were slaves. And those 70 people went from 70 people to 2.5 million people. But they were slaves. We're going to read about that in Exodus chapter 1 next week. Just, if you have time this week, study Exodus. At least half the book, through chapter 15 anyway. And look at that story, and we're going to look at it. And because God promised you something. But how you get what He promised is through a relationship by faith. It's so simple. But you have to believe. When you're hungry, you believe. When you're being betrayed, you believe. When things don't work out, when your boss promises you this and then they give you the shaft, you believe. And God will be responsible for you. So, with God, that's our that. Our that isn't what you get because you're with God. Our that is being with Him. That's my goal. If that's your goal, you'll have a power from God working inside of you that the world can't shake. You'll be a child of Abraham. And there are promises, you know. Don't make the promises your goal. That's what Israel did. The promise isn't my goal. My goal is what brings the promise. Jesus wants you to live in heaven on earth. He doesn't want you to have to die and get to heaven before your pain goes away. He wants you to live now in His presence, which brings heaven to earth. And when we bring heaven to earth, everyone gets to experience it. You know, in the world today, I had to do this in numbers. It makes sense to me. You know, there's a little over 8 billion people on earth today. I can't even imagine that kind of number. And over 2 billion followers of Christ. So it's like 1/3 of the world are followers of Jesus Christ today. That 2 billion, I had to divide it down because I really can't imagine a billion. 2 billion is 2,000 million. I can imagine a million people. That's like a whole sea of people. 2,000 million followers of Jesus on earth today. 1 out of every 3 people. And that all came from a little bitty place called Israel. When Jesus rose from the dead, a handful of followers. And now we're 1/3 of the earth. You see, God's bringing His kingdom to earth. And it's more powerful than the way of the world. And you can tap into that right now. So this morning, I want you guys, if you would study that. If you'll study it, then I don't have to read 87 scriptures. Because I really think they're valuable. We should know the story. And a lot of people don't read scripture, so the only scripture you hear is what is read to you. But I'd encourage you, read Exodus this week and study it, because I want to show you next week, because the truth is, the enemy is going to try and bring us into the same trap that Israel fell into. And we don't want to fall in that trap. We don't want to be there. We want to be people of faith. and we want to win this battle, right? So I encourage you to do that this week. Yeah, come on up, Jessica. Here we go. So I promise you something. Being with God is better than being in the world. And this morning, I believe that's what's going to happen even next Saturday night. We encourage you to invite your friends. Invite your friends to come to the healing service. Because the healing service isn't just physical healing. It's that reality that when we obey and we're with God, the people around us will be touched by God. It happens every time. So if you have friends, family that need to experience love, that need to experience life, that need physical healing, invite them, bring them. It'll be very non-confrontational. The whole thing will be designed for them. And so bring them, invite them. They'll come and they'll be blessed. They really will. Now this morning, Jesus made you a promise. The scriptures tell you that, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't need to fear evil. If you're in a place where you need Him, He'll meet you this morning. Amen. He will. That's what the scriptures say. Now, I don't know if He'll heal you. I don't know if He'll give you money. I don't know if He'll give you a promotion. That's all irrelevant. Those things don't control us. What controls you is Him. Him. He's who controls how I feel, not what my circumstances are. He's way beyond the physical realm. And He said, guys, here's what you pray. Pray that my Father's will be done in heaven will be done on earth. You know how that happens? Every time you're with Him, you experience heaven. God wants you to experience heaven today, and you will. So we're going to stand up, and we're going to have a ministry teams up here. And they will bring you into His presence, because they're going to be in His presence. And where His presence is, there's freedom. So this morning, if you need freedom, if you just need encouragement, if you just need to be happy, if you just need joy, if you just need something, Jesus is where it comes from. So I just want to encourage this morning, when we dismiss, these guys would love to pray with you. They really would. And if you are comfortable, you could ask somebody around you to pray with you. This room is full of Jesus. So it'll be good, right? So I want to pray. The communion table is still open. Thomas is going to tackle anybody who tries to take communion after they were dismissed. So not true. He's there to serve you. He's there to serve you. So it's still open. Take communion and allow Jesus to have an encounter with Him. That's your goal. That's your goal. And when you try, you win. Even if you don't feel anything, you win because you're with Him. So God, I just thank You that, Jesus, You gave Your life so that we could be with You. And God, I just thank You that none of us have to go home alone. None of us have to survive alone. That You are with us. God, I just thank You for the thousand ways You say it in Scripture. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, Paul said. God, You promised to never leave us alone. And we believe You. So Jesus, we just ask You to come right now to be with us. Come on, King. Just wait for His presence. You're good, God. He's good. Jesus, I thank You that You've overcome the world. That greater is He that is in You than He's that's in the world. God, I believe that's true. So So Jesus, I ask that every one of us would, God, this week you'd begin to expose the places where we've bought into the barter system. The world says that we believe the things the world promises, that they're the ones who supply us what we need. They're the ones who protect us. And Jesus, I ask this week that you would expose each one of our hearts in places where we aren't trusting you, where you're not the source. And God, help us to raise children that know you're the source of life, that you're the solution to everything. God, we just love you. We just thank you, King. Amen. Thank you for being here and study Exodus this week, if you will. I think that God will show you stuff. It'll be good. All right? Amen. You're dismissed.